Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are going to take a look at how Jesus confronts religious hypocrites. Now, Jesus often confronted the religious hypocrites of his day. He said some things to the Pharisees that they understood, but we might not understand without some study. We may not be familiar with their culture and rituals. Now, the Pharisees were always scheming to trap Jesus in his words, and we will see how Jesus confronted them and uncovered their hidden evil agenda. We will learn by his words what is most important to God. Now let's take a look at some of these verses.
Okay, Matthew 23:5 says, "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." Okay, Bill, what are phylacteries?
Good question. Well, they were leather pouches that the Pharisees wore on their forehead or forehand. They would fill these pouches with scriptures that were written down. By keeping them in an outward place next to their mind, the Pharisees would then appear to be spiritual. Now, all they cared about was their outward appearance, so they would make their pouches larger and larger. So Jesus confronted them on it. Now, they added to the verses in Deuteronomy 6, where it instructs us to keep the word of God on our lips, keep it before our eyes, write it down and talk about it throughout the day and evening. However, the scripture never said to place the written word outwardly in a pouch, but inwardly in our hearts. You know, Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 24 also tells us to keep it before our eyes and keep it in our hearts. Now, these religious hypocrites omitted all the weightier matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, and faith. They devised schemes in order to steal from the people, to corrupt others, and prevent them from coming to the truth. Now, the Believer's Bible Commentary, page 1288, states, "They reduced this spiritual command to a literal physical sense. Enclosing portions of Scripture in leather capsules, they bound them to their foreheads or arms. By wearing ridiculously large phylacteries, they appeared super spiritual."
Wow, that's interesting. You know, the larger and larger they get, I mean, that would really be noticeable on somebody's forehead.
Right, right. And they kept making them larger and to appear like, well, look how many scriptures I got stuffed into this pouch.
Yes. You know, the law also commanded the Jews to wear fringes or tassels. And this was to remind them that they were to be separate from the nations and to obey the commandments.
Right.
Right? And the Pharisees made longer fringes also to appear more spiritual.
Right. Always concerned about their outward appearance. Now, Jesus is not concerned with our outward appearance or to stand on street corners to be seen praying as the Pharisees did. He is interested to see what is in a person's heart. You know, he said the greatest among us should be a servant. He also said the prideful shall be abased and the humble shall be exalted.
In this next verse, Jesus said the Pharisees made the commandment of God of no effect. Well, let's take a look at that. In Matthew 15:1-7, it says, "Some of the Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, 'Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat.' And Jesus replied, 'And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites."
That's right. Jesus confronted them on it. You know, he brought up the law of honoring your parents, which God instructed us to do in Exodus 20, verse 12, 21, 17, and Deuteronomy 5, 16, because they had schemed with the priest to be exempt from doing so. They would give their money or property to the temple, and then the priest would give it back and just keep a percentage. This way they could say to their parents, "I have already given my wealth to the work of God. Therefore, I cannot give to your support."
Again, Bill, they're trying to look spiritual.
Right.
And then I like what the Expositor's Study Bible says on page 1676. It says, quote, they dedicate their estate to the temple so that they wouldn't have to take care of their aged parents, and a crooked priest would then give it back to them after taking a percentage. So it just backs up what you were saying.
Right. Now, to address the Pharisees' comment about the apostles were breaking the Pharisees' tradition of washing their hands before eating, the MacArthur Bible Commentary, page 1151, says, "The law of Moses contained no commandment about washing one's hands before eating, except for priests who were required to wash before eating holy offerings. So how wicked of them to appear pious in their positions of religious authority and yet be so low as to devise a plan to not even take care of their aged parents." They were just wicked.
I know. And another scheme of the Pharisees in Matthew 22, 15 through 20, it says, "Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They asked him, 'Teacher, now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But Jesus knew their evil motives, and he said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?'"
That's right. These wicked men saw that the crowd around Jesus was divided. Many were the Pharisees and other Jews who hated to submit to a Gentile government by paying taxes. There were also other Jews who were called Herodians. They were a political party who were more agreeable to paying the tax. Now, this particular tax, called a poll tax, was extremely offensive to most of the Jews. It suggested that Rome owned even the people. Now, they viewed themselves as a nation owned by God. In addition, the person on the coin was Tiberius Caesar, and the image was himself sitting on his throne. Well, paying taxes with this particular coin was to the Jews considered idolatry. So this tax was doubly offensive to the Pharisees and most of the Jews. So the reason they asked the question about paying taxes is because either answer would place Jesus in jeopardy. If Jesus sided with most of the Jews and told them not to pay taxes, they would arrest him since they were under Roman law. If he said to pay taxes, he would have lost most of the Jews' support. So these wicked men were quick to seize an opportunity to trick Jesus. But Jesus knew that many of the Jews were not paying tribute to God, and he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." Now this answer confronted them with their neglect of God, but also their failure to keep God's law of obeying the authority of the Roman law over them. And that's Romans 13, 1 through 7, and 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. So the answer Jesus gave settled both sides and left them all speechless.
Oh, don't you love that? The wisdom of Jesus,
right,
of God. It's amazing. You know, now we look at also Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus points out eight woes about the Pharisees. Now, these are not curses, but sorrows, really, of their condition and their fate. And we'll just take a look at three of these woes. And the first one in Matthew 23, 14 says, this is Jesus speaking, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive the greater damnation." And the question is, Bill, how did they devour widows' houses and why the long prayers?
Well, first I'll read MacArthur's Bible Commentary, page 1243, it says, "Scribes often served as estate planners for widows, which gave them the opportunity to convince distraught widows that they would be serving God by supporting the temple or the scribes' own holy work. In any case, the scribes benefited monetarily and effectively robbed the widow of her husband's legacy to her. the Pharisees attempted to flaunt their piety by praying for long periods. Their motive was not devotional to God, but a desire to be revered by the people. Close quote. So in other words, these wicked men stooped so low as to manipulate even a widow out of her inheritance by convincing her that it would be a service to God by giving them her inheritance. Jesus didn't hesitate to confront them on their wickedness.
That's great of Jesus. You know, I know there's so many scriptures about, you know, how we're supposed to treat widows.
Right.
And here's just a few of them. Deuteronomy 27:19 says, "Cursed is anyone who denies justice to the widows." Exodus 22:22 says, "You shall not afflict any widow." And Jeremiah 22:3 states, "Do no wrong to the widow."
That's right. How wicked of them to try to manipulate the widow's property into their hands.
Exactly. It's horrible, you know, and people do things like this today.
Right.
You know, and another woe that's mentioned in Matthew 23, it's verses 27 through 28, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead men's bones and all sorts of iniquity. Outwardly, or impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." So, Bill, my question is, why were the tombs whitewashed?
Well, the Jewish people would not want to inadvertently touch a gravestone because Jewish law would declare them as ceremonial unclean, and that's in Numbers 19:16. They would whitewash the gravestone in order to make them look beautiful and to stand out so there would be less chance of someone accidentally touching one. Well, Jesus compared the Pharisees to the gravestone being clean outwardly, but underneath there was a dead, rotting corpse. Jesus confronted their externalism. You know, they concealed their hypocrisy and lawlessness by appearing clean, but their hearts were evil. You know, Believer's Bible Commentary, page 1290, says, "Men thought that contact with these religious leaders would be sanctifying, but it was actually defiling because they were full of corruption and hypocrisy." So that was interesting about the whitewash, though. They just appeared. Jesus wanted to show that they just appeared like a whitewashed tomb, but really underneath, inside their hearts, they were rotting dead corpses.
I know. What a description, huh? I mean, that Jesus was so, just hit it right on the head, so descriptive of something they would obviously get or relate to in their day.
Right, right.
And another woe is in Matthew 23, again, 23 through 24, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." What did Jesus mean, Bill, strain at a gnat and swallow a camel?
Well, there were some Pharisees who would strain their water through a cloth to make sure they didn't inadvertently swallow a gnat. A gnat was the smallest of the unclean animals mentioned in Leviticus 11:21-24. Now, however, such an insignificant thing as swallowing a gnat was not the focus of the law or the point. The Pharisees wanted to appear so pious that they would display this extreme caution in public to appear super spiritual by the common people. However, at the same time, they were swallowing the largest of the unclean animals, a camel, mentioned in Leviticus 11:4. Now, their neglect of the more important matters of the law, which were justice, mercy, and having faith in God's word, was representative of swallowing the camel. They were majoring on a minor or focusing on only the insignificant. Now, the Believer's Bible Commentary, page 1200, says, "The scribes and Pharisees were meticulous in giving the Lord a tenth of the most insignificant herbs they raised." Jesus criticized them for being utterly unscrupulous when it came to justice, mercy, and faithfulness to others.
That's interesting insight, you know, into what that really meant.
Right.
And, you know, we can see the wisdom of Jesus as he knew their hearts and evil agenda. You know, they continually tried to trap Jesus in his words, Bill. I mean, how foolish to think they could outsmart him, you know, outsmart God.
Right.
Really.
Really but foolish.
Exactly. You know, but out of all of this, the bottom line is, for all of us, you know, God is more concerned with our heart attitude and our motives rather than our outward service.
That's right. You know, as Christians, we need to ask ourselves if what we are doing is to receive attention or to appear spiritual or out of a desire to be recognized for our gifting. You know, God will reward each of us if we serve him and others with humility, joy, and a pure heart. You know, Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves."
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.